What's up, Clipper Nation?
What's going on, guys?
It's me, William the Opinion Updike.
And I am Positive Chuck Mockler.
And we are Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On NBA Network, in case you haven't heard of it. We're coming at you, basically as often as we want right now.
Yeah.
But bringing you the fresh Clippers news all the time. We got a heck of a show lined up for you today. It's Friday. We're live on Twitter.
Yeah.
So if we're taking questions and you're listening on the pod later, you missed out. I'm sorry. If you're tuning in live on the stream, thanks so much.
Yeah. Shout out to the ear gang on the stream. Someone was just asking why I don't show those ears.
We're doing our best. Anyways, got a heck of a show lined up for you today. So much to talk about for the draft recap. An unexpected move to me for the Clippers to move into the first round.
Yep.
We're going to be breaking down those picks as well as what we thought of the trade in general. Talking a little bit about Summer League. And then we're going to be doing a segment called What the Free Agency?
Yeah, there's a whole lot of weird stuff going on right now.
So we got a bunch of stuff to talk about there. Obviously, Al Horford, maybe Bobby Portis. We also are going to be dedicating a fair amount of time talking about Doc's facial hair,
yes.
Which is probably going to lead into our love, Mary Kill.
Oh, it absolutely will.
And also, we've got a classic Kawhi watch for you guys.
Dude.
Big news, big things going on. No more time to waste. Let's get into it.
So, if you are living under a rock and don't know, the Clippers, there was the NBA draft last night.
Oh.
A lot of moves happened.
Was I recruited?
Yeah. Will was like, did I get drafted? We do have our
it's
4 years.
It's like the Army, right?
Yeah. We also do have our 4 years of eligibility left. I think we're going to be entering it next year, but we'll leave that up for you guys. The Clippers made a pretty surprising move, I would say.
Clippers obviously traded off the pick that became Jalen Hands.
Yeah.
As well as the Philly pick.
So to move into the first round to grab Fiondu Cabangeli. It is spelled M-F-I-O-N-D-U. The M is silent, which is a very... Clipper Nation tweeted that out, so shout out Clippers Nation for letting everyone know. He went to FSU. He is the nephew of Dikembe Mutombo, so the genes are there for shot blocking, absolutely. His measurables are kind of absurd. The dude is 6'9", he's got a 7'3 wingspan, and he's over 250 pounds. So for lack of a better term, I would describe him in a good way as a brick shithouse.
Oh, yeah.
The dude is built to bang around down low.
Yeah.
His career splits. He averaged 10-5. His last year, he averaged 13-6. His shooting was 50%, 37% from three on just two attempts, and then 72% from the line.
Not my favorite.
Not the best, but his senior year, he shot 37% from three and 76% from the line.
Solid improvement.
So, 6'10 plus change by NBA standards, Matt Chonger's
saying. I think he's 6'10 and a half in shoes was, I believe, the number that I saw. Interesting note, he never started.
At FSU.
His whole time at FSU. A thing that I really love about him is that he was redshirted his first year. I think that that's great for a player, especially a multi-year guy. You just get a chance to see the game from a different angle. Obviously, you're involved with all the players and practices and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But then you get time to like really watch and digest the game. I think that the best NBA example that I have of that would be Ben Simmons most recently.
He got to learn the whole situation.
Yeah, for sure. His progress that for his actual rookie year, two seasons back, I thought was so accelerated because he had that chance to just watch the game.
Yeah. He had a great quote. So he is kind of an in-betweener in terms of size, which seems to be... At this point, there's so many in-betweeners, I'm not even sure. That just might be the new norm.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
I think with the wingspan, it's a little bit less troubling than some of the other kind of cuspy guys that we've looked at.
7'3 is crazy.
Somebody said that he led in scoring off the bench, the team in scoring off the bench, which is 100% true. We watched an interview with him today where he talks about the role as a sixth man, and he actually name checks Lou Will, and this is before he was drafted.
Oh, yeah.
So, you got to love it. You love to see it.
I tweeted that video out. LOL WTF Eric actually found it. Shout out to him. So he had a great quote, too, about his positioning last night. He said, I believe I'm a four or a five. I'm just a forward. I believe at the five position, I can maximize my skill set by shooting the ball and taking bigs off the dribble. And if I match up with somebody smaller who is defending me, I can work inside with my post moves.
Now, have you gotten a good look at his dribble?
It's not bad.
I've just seen some highlights, and I didn't really get enough to get a good sense of what his handling is going to be like. But, I mean, I love the confidence.
The confidence is there. I think if his dribble is anything better than kind of what Trez's is, I'm fine with him taking people off the dribble.
Definitely.
Speaking of Trez, so I really like this. You said he was the sixth man on the team. He had his teammates' name stitched into the middle of inside of his jacket so he could like be there with his teammates. And I can't think of a better type of sixth man to learn from Trez.
Yes.
You know what I mean? That energy is there.
John's saying it looked like a Trez-level dribble.
Yeah, he's still young. The biggest thing is, were you surprised we traded into the first to get him? Because we apparently had targeted him for we had our sights set on him in a while. This front office doesn't make those quick moves rashly.
I think that it makes sense if he's the man that they wanted. I thought that it was maybe a little bit... It was maybe a lot to give up just in terms
for
of being a second rounder and a first rounder, albeit most likely a late first rounder.
Yeah, the 76ers are still going to be pretty good next year. They're going to make the playoffs in the East. So we didn't give up that much to the Nets.
Definitely.
You know, like it's going to be probably the same spot.
And I'm fine with it since it's the Nets as well, you know, like opposite yeah. conference.
Yeah.
You know,
that's a really good point. I didn't think about that actually.
So, and also, I don't want to understate how excited I am to have the nephew of Dikembe on.
Oh, dude,
on the Clippers. Just incredible, incredible stuff.
I think LOL WTF Eric just came up with a fantastic nickname for Fiondu Cabangili, which is MF Doom.
Yeah,
that's perfect. God, that's a great nickname.
MF Fiondu.
MF Fiondu. Ooh, there it is. He does see someone is commenting. He does seem happy to be here. He's a guy. I mean, we're gonna talk about Lawrence Frank's comments about these two guys, but he's a hardworking dude. Mm-hmm. He's a multi-year guy. He hustles on defense. He's the perfect Clippers player right now.
And I do understand that there were some questions about his defense.
Yeah.
However, I think that he has those instincts in him, and it will happen.
Someone just hit us with a perfect segue into the next pick, which is Terrence Mann, a.k.a. Florida Man, who was Cabangili's teammate at FSU. So kind of a cool teammate connection.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really interesting.
He's 6'7", 215, 11, 6, and 2 in college. So here's where things get interesting. His career shooting splits are 55, 32, and 67.
Yikes.
However, his senior year splits are 50, whatever, 39, and 79.
Yeah.
So his numbers went up, which is great. His shot does look pretty smooth.
Mm-hmm.
The improvement in his senior year seems really encouraging. Our coaching staff, I mean, they're super down to work people's shots. They worked on Shea's shot. I'm pretty excited about it. He looks like a bit of a monster.
Yeah.
He looks like a beast. I was watching a bunch of his highlights. He seems to be the king of putback dunks.
Okay.
He does these kind of cool, sneaky blocks where he kind of tails behind the primary defender and then gets someone when they're down low.
Yeah.
Which might not happen as much in the pros, given that everyone's a million times better at passing and whatnot.
Definitely.
But it's nice that the instinct is there.
Yeah. Solid shooter, albeit low volume.
Yes.
But I think that... Especially with that 79% free throw shooting, I mean, that would indicate to me that the form is there. You know, a lot of times with these low attempt rates, it's just a usage thing
for sure.
In the scheme in college. I also just want to bounce back. I just left this out of Fiondu's recap, which is one of my favorite stats. His second jump is
I love the second
so
jump
big.
Stat.
So I think that that's going to be huge in terms of securing rebounds. It's one of my favorite kind of stats that I feel like we don't talk about enough. But it's huge in terms of rebounding.
It's so important. I'd say it's the most important stat in terms of rebounding. Back to Terrence Mann, Jonathan Giovanni had this to say about him, which is pretty cool. He showcased in the pre-draft his impressive defensive versatility and high basketball IQ. Sounds exactly like a Clippers player. The Clippers will attempt to hone his scoring ability in the G League with the Agua Caliente Clippers of Ontario to the point that he will need to be guarded, but there are some things to like about his physical tools and versatility. So not necessarily the most high on him, but he could be serviceable, I think.
Definitely.
The question is now, do either of these guys see meaningful first team minutes next year?
No.
I don't think so either. No. I think they're playing on the Summer League, which is going to be led by Jerome, which is fantastic. I think it's going to be great to get them out there. It's just good competitive pieces, I think.
Yeah. I'm really interested to see somebody said we're trying to find our version of Siakam. I like that idea.
That's a really good call.
Yeah.
Lawrence Frank described them. He had a bunch of fantastic things to say. We retweeted all the videos and stuff. Lawrence Frank described them as competitive, hardworking, tough dudes.
I mean, that's the, you know, that's the blueprint of a Clipper player.
100%. I'm pretty excited about it. How would you grade our draft?
I'd say probably a solid B.
Yeah, I'm kind of in the B minus range.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't really.
It's tough to say because I, you know, these are some, like, they're not super well known prospects, at least to me.
No.
But it was great catching up on these guys. I definitely liked what I saw, which is really good. It's just hard to judge, and especially when you're picking, you know, at the end of the first.
And the second, there's like 300 theoretical players you could take.
Yeah, and it's above a C for me just because I like that they went after the man that they wanted.
Yeah.
And, you know, they didn't shed an unreasonable amount. I think it was maybe more.
Yeah.
It was maybe more than I would have liked to see given up for a late round first, but it's not like it's not untenable.
Yeah. An interesting note about Terrence Mann is that one of our scouts has known him since he was in seventh grade.
Yeah.
So we've had eyes on him, I guess, for a very long time. Moving over to Summer League, it was just announced we added O'Shea Brissett from Syracuse to the Summer League squad. Played 2 years at Cuse, 14-8 for his career. These are going to make you kind of bummed. Shooting splits of 37, 30, and 73. But that's a summer league team. He's 6'8" with a 7-foot wingspan.
Like that.
So another long guy. Let us know what you guys think about the summer league. Let us know what you think about the new additions. They seem very excited to be here. I asked a couple if they wanted to go to In-N-Out. Haven't heard back yet. We're getting something planned.
I also like that we've kind of focused on length a little bit in this draft.
So much length, dude.
That was something that gave the Clippers a lot of trouble in any matchup. If you listened to us last season, basically in any matchup against a lengthier team, we knew we were going to be in trouble.
Yeah. And Shea's long. We just got it. We like long boys, I said.
Yeah.
Coming up after this quick break, we're going to be talking free agency. But first, guys, I need a new belt.
Do you?
I absolutely do. I need an indestructible belt. Someone check out Gripstick's belts. You can light them on fire. You can shoot them with a gun and still put it around your waist. Gripstick's belts, shoot it with a gun, still hold your pants up. So welcome to WTF Free Agency.
What the free agency?
What is going on? So there's a bunch of things kind of talking about right now. We're going to be doing a Kawhi watch after this. If you want to send us questions on the live stream, go ahead. Is Al Horford going to come to the Clippers?
I don't know. I just want to segue for 1 second.
Yeah.
Eric is talking about having the In-N-Out double palm trees on the as a patch on the jersey. I would love it. We did a love, marry, kill of special edition jerseys, and I think the crowd favorite was the In-N-Out jersey.
Absolutely. The Horford thing is interesting.
Yes.
So he likes to play the four, as he said himself.
Yeah.
And so, if we sign Horford and not Kawhi, mm-hmm. let's just pretend in some universe, maybe this one, that we don't sign Kawhi.
I don't see that as a move this front office would make, but let's continue with the scenario.
Agreed. The lineup would be Shea, I guess it would be something like Shea, Sham, Gallo at the three?
Yeah.
No. Horford and then Zoo, because with Horford and Gallo on the team, there's kind of a weird, not competition, but a bit of a logjam, I would say.
Yeah. I guess there's some interest from the Mavs in Horford. He's definitely an interesting player. I think that we would run him at the five. With the Celtics this season, he played 92% of his minutes at the center position. And he's kind of got a reputation as like an athletic center killer, which is something that we've never really had. Those matchups have been really difficult for us.
Oh,
obviously, Zoo brings a lot of energy to the position, but Horford just brings a whole nother third dimension.
Yep.
In terms of the floor spacing, in terms of the playmaking.
Ball movement's incredible with him on the floor.
And just that sort of veteran presence is something that we have some of in the locker room, but depending on how things shake out, could be useful.
It seems like a move that a lot of people think we're only going to bring Horford on if we are also bringing Kawhi on, is a thing that I've seen a bunch of, that it would be like a both situation.
It's a really interesting pairing to me.
That
it seems really interesting. You know, Horford isn't like he doesn't play above the rim a whole lot. He's not a dunker. He has kind of an old man game, which is one of those things that makes me feel a little bit less hesitant if you were to offer him a longer-term deal.
Which he's looking
for. Is the game that you see with Horford right now is pretty close to what it's going to look like when he's 34.
It's a good plateau, I feel like.
Definitely.
It's not as sharp of a drop-off.
Definitely.
People on the stream are talking about Steven Adams being available. I'm not really sure what we would give them in exchange, the Thunder in exchange for Steven Adams, because they're trying to shed money.
Yeah, they're trying to shed money, so you know Gallo wouldn't be an option.
I did present it without comment on Twitter, and people were not into the Gallo for Steven Adams trade.
I'm
actually not that mad at Steven Adams' contract.
I'm a fan of Steven Adams. I think that he's got some heavy miles on him. I think that he's one of those guys who's played through a lot of small injuries.
Okay.
And it started to slow him down a little bit. But, you know, I don't see him as a fit for the Clippers. I don't see him as someone we'd really be pursuing. But, you know, it wouldn't be the worst, I guess.
Yeah. And then there's also, we're going to be taking meeting, or Bobby Portis is going to be taking a meeting with the Clippers, which I'm not really sure why.
Yeah.
I think his range is going to be too much money. He's fine.
He averages 14-8-1.
Yeah. On a bad team.
And his shooting splits are solid, 44, 39, 79.
Yeah. It's fine. It's just like,
I think with Bobby Crazy Eyes Portis is very true. I think with Portis, for me, it just depends on terms of value.
Yeah.
If we could get him without overpaying, I think that it would be actually a pretty solid addition. He's coming off of a rookie scale deal. I don't know what kind of offers are going to be out there for him.
I think it might be in the, I mean, with those splits, it could be in the 12 or 15 range.
Yeah. Well, I mean, another thing is he's still, I mean, he is 6'11", but he does kind of split minutes between the power forward and the center position.
Yeah.
So, I don't know if he would be up physically to the challenge of playing the center full time. I mean, he does have some solid weight on him. I don't know.
It's an interesting fit. We still need to address the small forward situation.
Definitely.
We don't have a small forward on the roster as of yet. And going back to his contract, if he's looking at maybe $15 million, it's now rumored that Patrick Beverley is going to be in the $12 to $15 million a year range.
Which is what I predicted. Yeah. I feel like we talked about this earlier. I think that he's definitely earned that. He's shown that he's worth that. He can provide that sort of value to a team.
I hope we keep him.
Yeah, I really hope we can keep him. So Bobby Portis, you're a nay. Firm nay.
I'm nay on Bobby Portis for the fact that we need a small forward, and I'd rather give Beverly that money.
Yeah.
Because it's probably going to be a similar contract. People are saying buy Pat on the stream. Come on, Matt Chung. This free agency, we're still apparently, you know, in the running for Kawhi. It's still a top two situation. There's also now, I feel like the KD to the Clippers rumors have been kicked up more in the last couple days.
Have they?
Yeah, I've been seeing a bunch of tweets about it. We're still like in the mix for KD. And I kind of feel like most of Clipper Nation maybe forgot about the fact that we were in the mix for him. I kind of did.
Yeah.
Because I'm not really sure if I'm down for the year of rehab.
It just depends. If he's willing to start, like, if he's willing to sign a long-term deal, possibly. We're just looking at two full seasons, probably.
Someone asking if we can put KD on layaway. That'd be great.
and I guess my issue with it would be at two full seasons, you know, we only get kind of a year. The window turns into 1 year suddenly before we can't afford to keep him with the contracts that Shamit and Shea are both going
to
command.
Which we have to assume one of those two guys is going to get the rookie max.
Yeah.
Right? That's probably going to happen. And then Trez's contract is up.
Yes.
Around that time, too. And Trez
enters free agency next year.
Yeah. If his jumper looks smooth, mm-hmm. and we see even like a glimpse of point Trez,
mm-hmm.
that contract, that's a pretty pivotal contract for us.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's weird, too, because, I mean, he's a fantastic bench contributor. Do you pay him starter money?
Trez?
Yeah.
I mean, Tyler Johnson makes $20 million a year.
Well, okay.
So I don't see why Trez wouldn't at least command, you know, 15 a year over 4 years. And I think that would be a steal.
That'd be...
Trez ever starting? This is something that comes up a lot. I don't. We've tried it in a pinch. You know, it can work against smaller lineups. For the most part, it's just not advantageous. Trez, to me, provides the most value on the floor when he's in that pick and roll with Lou, and vice versa.
And his energy level, it's so hard. There's no real way for me to prove this. It's so hard. He starts at such a high energy level.
Yes.
So if you start him in the game, he has to either maintain that absurdly high energy level the whole time or go above it.
Yeah.
Which is really hard to do. But when you're a bench guy, you just come into a game that's already, you get the flow of the game and you know your energy is going to immediately impact it no matter what.
The counterpoint would be he does already play starter minutes.
Yeah.
So it's not that big of a shift. It's just currently in the West, you know, there are a lot of there's just traditional size centers still.
Yeah.
And so I still think that you need that kind of prototypical size.
Yeah. Which is probably going to re-sign Zubats. Coming up after this break, we're going to be talking some Kawhi Watch.
Oh, yeah.
We're talking some Doc facial hair and a bit about some Gallo Twitter activity.
Hey, what's happening?
Should we do the Gallo
kick
talk?
Off with? Yeah, let's start it off with some Gallo talk.
So pre-draft, there was a bit of, I don't know, there was some scuttlebutt that maybe Gallo was going to be involved in a trade.
Yeah.
He removed all the Clippers imagery off of his Twitter banner and Twitter pick.
Do you think that, though, that's just in prep for Eurobasket?
Honestly, yeah.
Because I had the same thought where I was like, man, this must mean something big. But I think it could just be because international play, you know, he doesn't want to necessarily just be tied to an NBA franchise.
Yeah, and it's important to remember, it's a PR-run Clippers account. It would be fantastic to think that Gallo posts his own highlights and says, go Gallo. He might.
He does.
But it's still a PR-run thing. The Clippers, I think one of the reasons people were freaked out is because the Clippers kind of do things where they tell the player what's going to happen. And then we find out, which is how front offices should do things.
Definitely.
So I think people are a little freaked out that, like, oh, there's a move coming. They must have told him he switched it right now.
I
don't know.
I didn't think that, like, if the Gallo trade was to happen, it would be anything prior to July 1st or June 30th.
Yeah, we weren't moving into, like, the top four.
There was nothing
like
in the draft that I could see us going after that we would trade Gallo for. I just think in terms of development right now, you know, we've already got enough guys that we're trying to groom to the next level.
Yeah, it's interesting. I hope we keep Gallo, but if Gallo gets moved, it's not crazy to think that they have a play for two near max guys.
Yeah.
Whoever they might be, which segues perfectly into Kawhi Watch.
Da-na-na-na.
So Kawhi was last seen at the Toronto Blue Jays game. He was taking a picture of Mike Trout, who plays for the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. The worst name in sports, I will say.
Okay.
He was also seen buying boxes at Home Depot.
What?
What does it mean? What's he putting in those boxes?
Okay, can I also just point out something? Is anyone else surprised that Kawhi doesn't just go to the grocery store and say, hey, do you guys have any boxes in the back? He seems like a value guy. He's a frugal man. Does he not know about this pro tip? For you guys out there, if you're ever moving, go to your local grocery store. Say, hey, do you guys have some boxes I could have?
It'll save you $30.
They'll give you a ton of boxes. You don't need to buy boxes ever again.
This is Locked On Boxcast. No, so he was buying some boxes. Everyone was absolutely freaking out about what's happening. Matt Chong pointed out he was wearing a Moreno Valley hat at the game. Fantastic. It's been reported that he's going to be meeting with five teams.
Yes.
It's going to be the Knicks, 76ers, Nets, Clippers, and then, of course, the Raptors.
Now, do you think any of these are courtesy visits, or do you think these are all being truly considered as options?
I think this is going to be the homer in me. I think that the Knicks is a courtesy visit.
Yes.
I think the Nets are a courtesy visit. Actually, excuse me. I'm going to back up on that. I think the 76ers are a courtesy visit. I think the Nets make a lot of sense.
Nets makes a lot of sense. That's a great franchise.
There's not a star on it, and they're not like 76ers have too many stars, I think. The Knicks are the Knicks, so I don't think he wants to go there. I think the Clippers one is obviously serious. I think the Raptors one is serious. But Nets one just kind of interests me because he would be a great fit on that team.
I guess my only counter for that would be I don't think that he and Kawhi, Kawhi and sorry, I don't think that Kawhi and Kyrie are necessarily the best fit together.
Oh yeah, where the hell's Kyrie gonna go?
Looks like the Nets.
I think Kawhi would strangle Kyrie too. I will say this: they do have black and white jerseys. Kawhi's a pretty boring guy.
Black and white is not boring.
Well, in terms of, and it's no red, white, and blue. It's like that much. It's difficult right now, too, because I like talking about these meetings he's taking. It's hard when people ask us where we think he's going to go, because he's one of the most... There's never been this high profile of a free agent who I think is this cards to the chest.
I kind of love it, because I just feel like we're in... When it comes to Kawhi, it's like we're in a pre-internet age when it comes to free agency.
Oh, I like that.
It's like we're not hearing updates all the time. We're not hearing, like, you know, there's...
People, except for the boxes.
People say that there's stuff from sources, but like I don't know how credible it is. So I do feel like there's an old time newsy vibe to it.
All I picture is like the newspaper swirling and it's gonna be like Kawhi to the Clippers.
Yeah, I'm wearing suspenders in a newsroom, smoking a cigarette. Yeah. I'm like, stop the presses. We know where Kawhi's going. Let's go.
I hope he comes to the Clips. It's such a damn good fit. If it's not the Clippers, I hope it's the Raptors, I guess.
Yeah.
And for all the hype beasts out there, New Balance is releasing a Raptors championship pack on July 1st.
Yeah.
If you're me and you are a bit of a hype beast conspiracy theorist, that makes me think that he's staying with the Raptors. Because the companies, I think, always know before the people.
I agree.
Who knows? Let's get into something less intense. We're talking about Kawhi. Let's talk about Doc's facial hair.
For sure.
So, someone just asked us our dream lineup. Should we touch on that?
Yeah. Yeah, what do you got for dream lineup?
My dream lineup is, Shea, Sham, Kawhi, Gallo, Zoo. That's my realistic dream lineup for next year.
Yeah.
And we somehow manage to keep either one of Jermichael or Bev.
Uh-huh.
And that way our bench is Trez, Lou, Bev / Jermichael, Magruder. Like,
no, well, Magruder would be, he's like a shooting guard size.
Yeah,
so.
Sorry.
Jermichael at the four and then Trez at the five.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be mine realistically.
Mine is pretty similar. I would just maybe swap out. I would really like Brook Lopez at the five.
Oh, man.
If we could add Kawhi and Lopez to that starting lineup, that'd be awesome.
That is a Western Conference Finals capable team.
But I'm going to make one slight change, and I would actually kind of like to see maybe a lineup of Shea, Pat, Kawhi, Gallo, and Lopez.
So Shamit's on the bench.
Shamit comes off the bench, but he plays starter minutes still.
Yeah.
I just think with Pat in the backcourt along with Shea, who has been improving on defense and is so big, with Kawhi, that is a smothering lineup that can still murder you on the other side.
Yeah. Plus we got Terrence Mann out there. So now we're talking, this is Love, Marry, Kill, sponsored by Hotels.com. Are you in a new city? Need a place to stay? Hotels.com. They got hotels.
Are you in your own city but tired of your apartment?
Ooh, tired of your perhaps significant other. Hotels.com. So we are talking facial hair options for Doc Rivers.
Oh, yeah. Cooperman pointed out that in the offseason, he always grows his facial hair. Cooperman asked if maybe it was to put on a serious face for free agents. I love the theory. You respect Doc with facial hair even more than you do clean shaven.
If you've never seen it, Google Doc Rivers mustache. It's almost a Vincent Price style mustache. It's very thin.
It's not that thin.
It's not thick though.
It's reasonable.
So we're going.
It's formidable. So I would even say
we're going facial hair options for Doc. We're gonna love, marry, kill.
Love, marry, kill. Doc's facial hair.
The classic stash. The goatee, and mm-hmm. I'm saying with a flavor saver.
Okay.
So he's got the goatee with the little patch.
I love it.
Right underneath his
as
bottom
you
lip. As you should. And then the third option, chops.
Oh, man.
Just some mutton chops, dude.
Man.
I'm going to go first on this.
Okay.
I'm absolutely loving the chops.
Oh, yeah. I mean, dude. I agree. That's my love as well.
Doc Rivers with a nice thick pair of mutton chops, maybe almost connecting to a non-existent mustache, strikes fear in everyone's heart.
Definitely.
Jim Boylan isn't starting any mess with Doc if he sees those mutton chops over there. People on the stream are saying mutton chops the clear winner. That's fair. I'm going to marry the stash. Actually, you know what? Wild card. I'm marrying the goatee and flavor saver.
Ooh, okay.
Because I feel like it gives Doc kind of a heel. vibe.
Yeah.
It gives him kind of an evil Doc vibe.
It does. I like it.
And if the Clippers come in next year, we're still going to have a chip on our shoulder, because I still think if we don't get Kawhi, the level of Clippers disrespect is going to be at an all-time high.
Definitely.
From everybody else. Also, thanks for staying strong, guys. Let's not engage with the naysayers. But I think goatee Doc with the flavor saver, that's a dude who, like, people are getting out of his way in the hallways.
Okay, and you're killing the stash.
I'm killing the stash.
Wow.
Because it's too powerful.
The goatee is big husband energy.
Yes.
Love it.
I think the stash is too powerful.
Okay.
I think that he would
it's
maybe...
It's too much.
I think he would maybe get a little in his own head. Rightfully so, because the stash looks great. But I think he would maybe turn into like fun Doc, like angry fun Doc. Like,
okay.
Like, yeah, I'm having a beer. What do you want me to do? Like, the stash looks so good. All right, what do you think?
All right, so I'm also loving the chops, but I'm going to just add in a little flavor. I'm saying chops with the full Fu Manchu.
Oh, long.
Yeah, so that would be the hearty mustache into the chops, no goatee, obviously.
Wait, does he have like the Kung Fu Fu Manchu where it's like...
Oh, if he can grow, if he has enough time
like he
to
can
grow
do this
out,
move?
Yeah, if he can, he's twisting them on the sideline, the end hairs
he's
of the Fu Manchu.
He's got the Dub C braided goatee.
So I'm loving that. There's no goatee though. It's just,
okay.
It's just a Fu Manchu. With the chops, great look. We'll call it the Lemmy from
Motorhead.
Yeah,
very similar styles of human being, Lemmy and Doc River.
Pretty similar. Some people mistake one for the other.
So what are you killing?
No, I haven't married yet.
Oh, you haven't married yet? Excuse me.
I'm marrying the stash.
Hey.
You know, stash,
you wanna, okay,
stashy
man.
Doc, stashy Poppy, if you will.
El Doctor de Stash.
Someone said Zoo Manchu on the live stream. Love it. Zoo should grow out the Fu Manchu. He probably doesn't grow great facial hair. Still try it.
Oh, he looks like he grows bad facial hair. As someone who grows bad facial hair, you and me together, Zubats.
I'm killing the goatee.
You don't even know what you're missing, dude.
Man, I like the idea. I just think that the stash is, I mean...
it's too powerful.
Dude, Doc, he's a stashy poppy.
I think Stash Doc would be the kind of guy who's like, I'm going to put the green light on you. And people would be like, whoa, what? Like, you just green lit me, dude? okay, let us know what you guys think Doc should go for his next facial hair. We're welcome to it. Coming up on Tuesday... What are we talking about? More free agency stuff.
More free agency stuff. We'll talk more draft. We'll talk some possible Gallo trade scenarios if he is going to be gone. And yeah, we'll be live. We'll be taking your questions again.
Check us out on the Himalaya app.
Do it.
You can set episodes in order. It's fantastic. You can listen to who we thought we were going to draft. Neither of the people we mentioned
were
on that list, which is great. Shout out one more time to Untuck It. If you're wearing an untucked shirt that looks terrible because it's a button down, get an untuck it.
Oh, Eric sent you something on Twitter.
I know. I'm in the middle of a stream. Thank you, Eric, for sending us whatever you sent us on Twitter. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. Check us out on iTunes. I have been Positive Chuck Mockler.
And I'm William the Opinion Updike. Thanks for listening, everybody.